The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When you're in a relationship with someone, you want to know everything you can about them. And God has revealed so much to us about who He is and what we can ask Him for because of the way He has revealed His names to us.
Sheila Walsh explains the names of God found in Psalm 23.
There is power in the names of the Lord.
Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad that you stopped by. And I want to thank so many of you who are writing me little notes and sharing some of your story or how a guest maybe touched you. And if you ever want to connect with me on Facebook, I think mine is, it's just called Sheila Walsh Connects. So somebody wrote to me last week and asked if I had a middle name or if it was just Sheila Walsh. And I said, no, I do. I'm called from my father's mother. My middle name is Davina. And I was thinking about a time when I was home in London. I was speaking at a conference and a Hillsong actually in London. And I was in a big store that's very well known in London. If you've ever been, then you'll be aware of Harrods. And I was in the food hall and just marveling at, you know, how can you have 600 different kinds of cheeses? When this girl came up to me and smiled and she said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I bumped into you. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you. And she said, you know, I love your music. And I thought, oh, she must be somebody that remembers me from some time ago, because I used to be just solely a Christian music artist. And she said, yeah, all your early stuff, it was amazing. And she said, would you give me your autograph? And so she handed me a piece of paper and a pencil. So I wrote on it, and she kind of looked at it, and she said, what does that say? And I said, may God bless you with love, Sheila Walsh. And she said, oh, I thought you were Sheena Easton. And she tore up and walked away. If you don't know who Sheena Easton was, she was also a Scottish singer, but of a very different genre. But I've been studying the names of God. You may have watched an earlier program where I talked about the fact that in Psalm 23, there are actually 11 names of God. You know, the beginning is easy to see, the Lord is my shepherd. And then it talks about God being our peace and God being our righteousness. But I wanted to look at the second half of that psalm and unpack some of these amazing names of God. Because I think when you're in a relationship with someone, you want to know everything you can about them. And God has revealed so much to us about who He is and what we can ask Him for because of the way He has revealed His names to us. So I was looking at this text this morning. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. And that is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. That name of God is used only once in the Old Testament. In fact, it's the last, literally the last two words of the book of Ezekiel. We read, and from that day, the name of the city will be the Lord is there. The Lord is present. Jehovah Shammah. Now for Ezekiel in his prophecy, he was speaking about Jerusalem, but for you and me, it means the body of Christ, the church, that Christ is present. I think that's something that we really have to hold on to now. You know, the year 2020, none of us anticipated what we were walking into. I remember so clearly on New Year's Eve, I don't know what your New Year's Eve traditions are. You know, in Scotland, New Year's Eve, if you're a believer, is a very spiritual time. It's not usually a time when we would go to parties or anything like that. We would have what's called a watch night service. And basically, we would have a service at church from 11 on New Year's Eve until 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was a way of saying goodbye to the old year and thanking God for his faithfulness and then committing the new year to him. And so it's a tradition that I still carry on. I love at the end of a year to look back. I have a little prayer bowl at home, and I will write prayers all year and I'll put them in there. And I love at the end of the year reading through all those and seeing the faithfulness of God, how he has shown up in ways that I couldn't have anticipated. But right now, I think we're in a situation where we think, I didn't see this coming. I remember as 2019 slipped away and 2020, just committing myself afresh to the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't know what this year holds, but you do. And that's been something I've had to remind myself of over and over this year, that Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. No matter what you're facing right now, no matter how dark the valley, the Lord is present. He's with you now. He is here. You know, when you feel alone or afraid, I think it's really great to pause and declare that name out loud. I found myself doing that so many times. You know, the first half of 2020, I think I had like 16 speaking engagements canceled. And it was a different rhythm of life. What I honestly didn't realize is when I go out and I teach the word, I didn't realize how much that built me up as well. You know, I love to pray with other women. And I suddenly found myself at home thinking, you know, I wonder if we'll ever get back to being able to do that again. And that's why I've been studying the names of God, because I've had to pause and say out loud, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. He is here right now. When you find yourself in a difficult place, you know, write that down and remind yourself every day, the Lord is present. The Lord is here. Well, then we move on to your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. That's Jehovah Ezer. The Lord is my help. We'll find it all the way through the Psalms. In fact, Psalm 124, verse 8, our help, our Ezer, is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That word help is the word Ezer, and it's one of the names of God. Charles Spurgeon, great teacher, wrote, in all times of danger from men, our wisest course is to fly to the Lord, our helper. He has ways and means for delivering us, which we know not of. Psalm 33, verse 20 says this, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help. He is our Ezer and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. You know, we can pray that over our lives, over the lives of our families. Thank you, Father, that you are my Ezer. You are my help. You might find yourself right now in a place where you're struggling financially. You know, I know of friends who've had to file for bankruptcy, who've lost businesses. And in those times, it's tempting to let go of what we know to be true. But if there is a name that our Father has given that we can trust in, you can stake your life on that. Father, you are my Ezer. You are my help. Well, then we move on to, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. That's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Now, that can be hard to grasp. I mean, clearly, it's not that we're just invited to come to a big all-you-can-eat buffet surrounded by enemies, you know, you prepare a feast for me. So what does it actually mean? What's the significance of that name? Well, in Exodus 17, verse 15, we read this, Moses built an altar there and named it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. It'll help us grasp hold of what this name of our great God means when you see the context of where that name of God was first used. For that, you have to go to Exodus 17. And it tells the story of when Moses, Joshua, and the children of Israel were in a fierce battle with a hostile desert tribe. You know, we know that the children of Israel wandered across the desert for 40 years. And it might be tempting to forget that they were constantly crossing land that they did not own, and they were not welcome, and they had to fight for their survival. So in Exodus 17, verse 10, we read this. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Well, Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. That's where we read. Moses built an altar there and named it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. When Moses built the altar and called it the Lord is my banner, he was creating a place of remembrance, a place of victory, an acknowledgement that the reason they won the battle was because of God. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're in a battle and you ask for God's help and you make it through, you think, wow, I did an amazing job there. But what Moses was very careful to ask the people to remember was the only reason we won the battle was because of the Lord. He was making a declaration, one that you and I can declare today and every day. The Lord is my banner, and we are the Lord's. It was a declaration, not just of who God is and what he has done, but it's also a declaration of who we are as his people. When you feel as if you're in the heat of a battle, pause, raise your arms, and declare over your life, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Well, then we come to the next part of the end of Psalm 23. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. Jehovah Mekadesh. It means the Lord who sanctifies me. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel had 613 laws that they had to keep to be holy in God's sight. There were 365 things not to do and 248 things to do, which interestingly enough is the number of bones in the human body and the number of days in the year. So in this way, the Jewish people were called to obey the Lord every day of the year with their entire body. But there's a scripture that says, so set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. That's Leviticus chapter 20. That's a lot. I mean, can you imagine waking up every day with 613 laws to keep? The amazing news for those of us who are part of the family of God is that Christ is the one who makes us holy. We read that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? Particularly when you feel like you've failed or you've made mistakes. But the truth of the gospel is that we are not saved by trusting in our own goodness or our holiness. No, we are saved because of Jehovah Mekadesh. It's the Lord alone, who makes us holy. The psalm goes on to say, my cup overflows with blessings, which is Jehovah Manah, the Lord is my portion. Over and over, the writers, several writers on the Psalms will declare that the Lord is my portion. In Psalm 73, verse 25, we read, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I want to live like that, with that total devotion to Christ. And a wonderful way to cultivate this heart is to pray the Psalms. I do it every single day. I read 3 or 4 Psalms out loud every single morning, soaking my life in the truth and the strength and the healing and the help of God's Word. That's how you and I can say, my cup overflows. The more we live in God's Word, the richer and fuller we'll be. Every single day, the Lord is waiting to give us everything we need. Jehovah Manah, the Lord is my portion. The psalm ends with, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Jehovah Chelek, the Lord is my inheritance. We find that name of God in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 2. When land God gave to his people was divided up among all the tribes of Israel, the only tribe that received no land were the Levites. They were the ones who led in worship. And this is what God said about them. "They shall have no inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance," as he promised them. I love that. What a gift to those who led in worship, that you don't need an inheritance. The Lord is your inheritance. And that gift is available to everyone who trusts in Christ. The Lord is our inheritance. Ephesians 1, verse 18 says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power to those who believe." So in Psalm 23, 11 names of God, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. Jehovah Sitkinu, the Lord is my righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Jehovah Ezer, the Lord my help. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner of victory. Jehovah Mkadesh, the Lord is my holiness. Jehovah Manah, the Lord is my portion. Jehovah Chelek, the Lord is my inheritance. There is power in the names of the Lord. I encourage you to find strength and help and hope in these names, because this is who our God is. And now I want to bring something to you that is very, very dear to my heart. It can be a little hard to watch, but I ask you, if you will hold on with me until I can explain how you and I, in the name of the Lord, can shine some light into a very dark place. Would you watch this with me?
There is a violent plague impacting the world. It's called sex trafficking. And like a disease, children are the most vulnerable. The number of children being held captive and abused by sex predators is beyond comprehension. It's reported to be in the millions. Sheila Walsh has talked to many young victims of sex trafficking and learned of the trauma and fear that has destroyed their childhood.
I've seen things on this trip that are worse than anything I could imagine. I tried to think of what I was doing when I was 9 and I was still playing with Barbie dolls, and my greatest fear was, would I be able to get a particular thing that I was hoping for Christmas? I just spent some time with a little girl who is now 11, and she's been forced to have sex with men, with strangers, sometimes 4 a night since she was 9 years old. She's now 11, middle school. but she's already 2 years on the street. She's not hardened. She's just broken.
The trail of tears and broken spirits of little ones, like the young girl Sheila described, has surely touched the heart of God. It has no doubt left an unforgettable mark on Sheila.
I pray that I'm never the same again. And I pray that we're able to help you see that we're here for a reason. There's things that we can do. We are his hands and his feet. We are his heart. When scripture says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, I've seen what it looks like to be crushed in spirit. So this is our moment to be Christ in the flesh to those who are broken. It's hard to even know what to say. So many of the children in that piece were children that I met, children I had the privilege of praying for. Some of those children, we had the joy of leading them into relationship with Christ. Jesus. But what was so clear is the darkness there and the evil. And some of you have asked me at different times, well, you know, why are they there? Why don't they just leave? And, you know, where are their families? So many of them. One of the young girls we spent time with, her dad is in prison and her mother ran off with another man and left her. She's 11 and she's the head of the family. She's got three younger children underneath. And you might have seen one of the images of a girl carrying cans in a bag. That's the only way that she could make a living. She didn't go to school. She doesn't know how to read or write. But if she goes out late at night and collects beer cans from all of these clubs, then she can sell. I think it's not much, but that's where they're snatched and taken. And sometimes it even seems like a good thing they're being offered. You know, some of the villages where the children have never even heard of trafficking, these traffickers will come in and they'll say, hey, you know, we can get you a good job in the city. You'll be able to send money home to your mom or your dad. And they'll come and then they'll sometimes give the children a meal. And the children are, you know, it looks great, but they don't know it's drugged. And we talked to a young girl, and I can't remember how old she was, but she was no more than 12. And she woke up the next morning beside some grown man and realized what had happened to her. But they're told, if you try and escape, we remember where you live. And if you escape, we're going after your younger sisters. One girl actually said to me, I'm staying here because I don't want this to happen to my little sister. I mean, it just makes something inside of me rise up. And I think as long as the body of Christ is on the earth at this moment, we can't let this happen on our watch. These children are helpless unless we decide to help. But we work with amazing partners on the ground who are able to reach. You know, the reach part is actually when they'll go into the villages and they'll educate children. They'll say, if somebody comes and says this to you, run as fast as you can, yell out loud. But we also do rescue, where we'll go into some of these brothels and bring these little ones out and then restore, put them in a place where they can learn that they have a name that matters. They're not a number that's tattooed onto their leg. So that's our whole mission: reach, rescue, or restore. It takes about $128 for each child to be able to be placed into that rescuing, that formula that will give them a new life. We have some amazing friends who have given us a matching gift for this whole mission, which means if you can give $64, that will now be matched and you'll save a child. You'll begin that process. Or if you can give $128, instead of that just reaching, rescuing or restoring one child, that will now do that for two. So please, please, will you join us in this? Will you let those young girls who think nobody cares, nobody hears their cries, would you let them know that God heard their cries and he sent us to come in his name? Please give the very best gift you can. And will you do it right now?
Human trafficking is one of the world's darkest sources of criminal activity and money. As a result, children and young people are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators into a never-ending nightmare. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at the risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives giving them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated and essential book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation, a valuable reference with biblical insight to help you live your best life. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Jesus My Refuge journal and pen set, filled with scriptures reminding you of God's covering in times of need. You'll also be reminded to pray for those seeking refuge from the horrors of human trafficking. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
What you're seeing behind me right now is some villagers who are learning how to not be lured into sex trafficking. We know for a fact that some girls have disappeared from this area and have not been heard of again. It's critical that we reach into areas like this and educate them so that they will know what to look for. So when the sex traffickers come back through this area, no more will be taken. We're doing all that we can to reach into places like this, to rescue the girls that have been taken and to restore their lives and restore their families and restore their villages. I hope you'll go to the phone right now, go online, do what you can. The Rescue Life program is making a huge impact in areas that really need the love of God. Do what you can. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Please keep calling. For any gift at all, we're going to send you this book, Natural Remedies, Ancient Nutrition. You know, God has really provided so much naturally that brings healing to our body. And I think during this year, that's a tremendous thing. So please call. We love you so much. God loves you. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
And I was told by a medical professional, and then another one, that you have terminal cancer and you're going to die if you don't do it this way.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.